All right, this is Wednesday afternoon. We're going to do this a few hours early today. The title is Being Rich Toward God. Being Rich Toward God. 11:29-23. We're going to start reading in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, start with verse 13 there. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the blessings which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So the man spent his whole life working, laying up goods for himself, but he was not rich towards God. All right, with that, let's go to Matthew 6. The man toiled his whole life to build up all of his goods, and then he died. And where did all those goods go to? All right, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon would be money. I guess possessions. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This is the way the world system has made people, to where you have to fret for every cent instead of being carefree. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. If you read Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you can see, or really 1 and 2, you can see that God provided everything for his man. Everything. Even water came up and watered from inside the earth. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Well, what happened to that concept? The thief came in and stole. Got man to thinking about himself and taking care of himself instead of trusting God. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is the clincher here. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. So this man that racked up all this stuff and built big barns and had all this stuff, and didn't even live long enough to enjoy it, God says that's evil. That thinking is evil. That I'm going to do all these things and stock up and all this stuff. That's evil. That's all you hear in the world today is buy your Patriot Supply kit or, you know, get you a generator and do all of these things to protect yourself as if God can't protect you. All right. I'll just read here. I will read here what I wrote down this morning. People go to college and extensively train to make a career for themselves. I would say that is taking thought for tomorrow, wouldn't you? In that way it is. You're taught from probably elementary school to junior high school, and especially in high school, that you need to be thinking about what college you want to go to. So you've got to find out what you're going to be doing, right? That's the way the world is. All right, you're consumed on how to make money and get to the top of the ladder, but really it is the ladder that leads, in a lot of cases, to the pit. If a person goes to college, it should be because God told them to do so. This is what seeking first the kingdom of God is all about. God first and everything else he will show you. Because he has a plan. And it's not stockpiling for yourself. People wander through life aimlessly because they just followed the world's trends on how to get rich, and some do and some don't. But when you follow God, there is no lose, only win. As I was speaking one of our petitions concerning our mineral rights, the Lord began to show me through the life of Isaac how the angels will route before us those who are rich toward God. As I was speaking, it's like they were steering me in what to say through those mineral rights. It was really kind of strange, different. I had never experienced anything like that before. Anyway, so his plan is to bring us to prosperity when we seek first his kingdom. And we say, what we have is yours. And so when you begin to speak, he will begin to lead you how to speak. All right? God first and everything. And if you put God first in everything, he will lead you in everything. All right. All right, Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. All right, let's go to Genesis 26. We're going to look at Isaac. We don't have to try to get somebody to do right. Like in a situation where somebody's got something that was supposed to be yours and you don't have it and all those things. We're not here to fight against people. We can just be rich towards God, and God will maneuver us into receiving all that he wants us to have, all of it. All right, let's start with this verse 1 there. And there was a famine in the land, because the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. That's the world. Go not down into Egypt in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So God promised Abraham north, south, east, west. Everywhere where your foot tread, that's what I'm giving to you. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's why God chose Abraham, because he would see that all the nations of the world were blessed. Abraham was that kind of man. He was in it for helping and blessing others, not just for his own gain. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him and his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill him for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. It came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how sayest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said, Lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He's special, wasn't he? Then Isaac sowed in the land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the day of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found their well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. Think about that. When Abraham went and the herdsmen strove, he had Lot depart, and he gave Lot pick his part. Of course, Lot picked the best land. This was the type of Abraham, the guy Abraham was. But after that, Abraham did that and let Lot take the best, it seemed. God said, now look, north, south, east, and west, I'm going to give all of it to you. That's what he said. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So God made Abraham fruitful. God made Abraham rich. But Abraham was rich toward God. How did he act? He wouldn't fight. He wouldn't strive. He trusted God to take care of him, and God did. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and from that they strove not. Okay. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I'm the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply a seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants digged a well. So when we seek first the kingdom of God, we don't need to strive with anybody. We don't need to try to set somebody straight and tell them they need to make things right with us. God is going to see to it that those who do right will prosper and those who do not will not. That's what he was showing me in this. All right, can you see him at the maneuvering? He didn't get into any of the strife, but God was maneuvering him, sent him on to Gerar. When he finally made it to Gerar, that's whenever he started being able to dig wells again. All right, this is what started to happen when I was speaking about the mental rights. It's like I began to felt maneuvered to speak that all of this area, all of it, that we have favor. They don't want to go these other directions. They want to go this direction. That's our direction. Think about that, our direction. That was prompted by the Holy Spirit, because I'd have never thought about it. I'm just reading the things we've been reading for years, and you just, one day, it's like the Lord just kicks in with you, and he begins to maneuver you, and you begin to speak stuff. Lord, you've given us the whole land. Not praying against anybody and trying to make somebody do something right. No, we're trusting God. We're trusting God because we put him first, and he takes care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory, right? All right. He will cause us to speak course changes to get us into line to receive the wealth that the sinners have said or have taken from us. The devil's taken from us, whatever the case may be. I believe this applies to all kinds of our lives, everything that pertains to our lives, not just this one instant, but I think everything. You've been done wrong. If you've been done wrong about things, well, seek the kingdom first. God will make it right. All right, finding favor in unfavorable situations. God Himself has laid it up for us to find when we get in line with Him. Not need first, but Him first. Because the whole world is running around trying to get a better this and a better that, and working harder, working more hours, investing, doing whatever they can to try to beat this system. And they're never going to beat this system. Never. The only system that's going to bypass that system is the kingdom of God. All right, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So we don't have to be haggling about why don't they do right. We just have to say, we don't have any sorrow about this. We trust the Lord. He owns it all. He'll maneuver us into situations and take care of us like we don't even know. All right, Matthew 19. Starting with 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, You know, God honors us because we will take whatever we have and we will give it to whoever and do whatever God wants us to do with it. But most of the world will not. They do it for their own pleasure. Their houses, their condos, their boats, their whatever, and their own life. It's really a pretty shallow life. There's the difference. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. See, God puts emphasis on totally different things than the world. What happens if when we put God first, He takes charge and begins to maneuver you to become rich? He can't do anything else. You take the reins, or God takes the reins. You know, it's a decision. He couldn't help the young ruler, for he could not let go of his control and trust God. That's what Jesus was talking to him about. Let go and let God. You heard the same? Well, basically, that's what he said to him. All right, go now to 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 9. That's not it. Oh, it's 2nd, sorry. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'll take that supernatural stuff over the other any day. Rich here means wealthy and abounding. A couple more scriptures here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Instead of laying up riches, they're laying up a good foundation. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 9, says, let the brother of low degree be rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the fire of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. In his ways. Not God's ways, his ways. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world, they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Learning to flow in the Spirit and not to take the burdens of this life on ourselves is key. I challenge you to be open, and when you confess, take your time so that the Holy Ghost can take hold with you and begin to maneuver your words. That's spiritual mapping also. That may not be the taken out the enemy, and it, but it may be. It may be. All right? Because God is listening. The angels are listening. And they'll maneuver you. All right, one more set of scriptures, and I'll be done with this. Romans 8, which you know this one very well. Read it quite often. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All right.